This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for joining me. Let's pray. You know, Dr. Tabali, who was just on the air with me, sent me a text this morning, and I was just seeing it during the broadcast, and I told him that I'd be more than glad to pray. He apparently, his nephew passed away unexpectedly due to an overdose, and he asked us to pray for him during the chaplet, and I want to pray for anybody battling with addiction, anybody who is suicidal today, anyone who's having the suicidal ideation. I'm going to pray for the families who've lost loved ones, both through suicide, through overdose, through tragedy, through accident. He says, look, this young man led a very troubled life with troubled parents and never had many chances provided for him. And I know God is merciful in those situations, but let's pray for those also approaching, you know, the hour of their own death. It can be a very, very difficult time. But God's good. You know, He is merciful. We know that. And I know He hears our prayers, and you know, we see that all the time. I received an email from somebody saying, hey, I requested prayers for someone undergoing a heart procedure. Just wanted to let everyone know who prayed. The procedure turned out great. The doctor said it went just as it should have. So appreciate the prayers. I also requested prayers for someone to get a bone marrow transplant. Very painful. Just got an update today. The doctor says he's doing better than expected. So a couple answered prayers are coming in. Another person said, look, a couple weeks ago, your listeners prayed for my dad, who had a mass on his lungs. And I had reported back that, praise be Jesus, the mass had disappeared. It had totally vanished. My father's in need now of another great miracle from your devoted Divine Mercy prayer warriors. He has only one functioning kidney, and has been told he's got 6 months to a year to live before it'll shut down. He's not a candidate for a transplant due to his age, but the news has hit him hard, and we're praying for another miracle, asking listeners to do that in the months ahead. I'm praying that my father's trust in Jesus will grow beyond measure, and he can be confident in God's gracious love for him. Well, you know, first of all, that's a miracle just off the top, right? A massive, you know, tumor on the lungs, a huge mass just disappearing. Doctors don't know what happened to it. It's a wonderful miracle. So let's pray again, this time for his kidneys, that God will allow that to be restored. I want to pray for anyone having renal issues, anyone who is concerned about cancer or any of those tumors. We'll pray for more miracles to come in your life. All right. And I know we're seeing them every day. We get tumors disappearing, the kidney being released, you know, the missing being found, and financial miracles happening. God hears our united prayers. I'm joined today by Lucas. He is my colleague here at Relevant, the great producer of Cal Clark Show and some of the other afternoon shows. Good to have you with me today, Lucas. Good to
Hey, Drew. Around. Good to be here.
I had the chance to bump into Timory last night.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked a little bit about you at this event I was at. Oh, my gosh. That is the most adorable little baby I think I've ever seen.
He is so cute.
She is. I told her that she should model that baby. She should absolutely model her. She's cute as can be. So I'm going to pray for Timory and her intentions as well. I know she's got several. Lucas, anything you want to lift up?
Yeah, a family friend of mine, Michael, he had cancer a couple of years ago, beat it. But then about a month ago, doctors thought they might have found some spots coming back, and he gets his test results back today on whether or not that is the case. So lift him and his family up in prayer.
All right, we'll pray for good results, right? We'll ask God for mercy and all those awaiting test results, all those undergoing procedures, all those seeking, you know, health. So let's lift that up right now. And if you want to join me, of course, you know the number. It's 888-914-9149. As God works those miracles in your life as a result of this prayer, please email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Say, hey, I called in or I joined you for prayer, and here's how it was answered. Test results came back. The tumor disappeared. Whatever it may be, just share that with us. It's always edifying and inspiring to hear. All right, we will pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, I'll take your call now. I want to pray for everybody I was with last night at this event and all those who support Relevant Radio and help it in the great mission of spreading God's mercy, because that's really the mission of this apostle, to bring Christ to the world through the media, to spread his message of mercy. So prayers for you today as well. Nick is listening in Chicago. He's joining us now. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, I hope you can hear me. I have you on speaker because I can't hear you regularly.
Okay.
I'm dying of cancer. Wow. I beat it. I had an anointing yesterday. I'm 6'1". I'm down to 130 pounds.
Wow.
I'm 75 years old. And I just pray for the repose of my soul. I'm starting to get a little dementia.
I'm sorry.
And I just pray for the repose of my soul.
Joseph.
If I took any one of these medicines, I'd be dead.
Well, Nick, do you have family? Do you have somebody who can take care of you? You're all alone.
I have a beautiful, wonderful caretaker who takes care of me.
All right.
Well,
Nick,
I have a brother, but
I want you to know, look, brother, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're here for you. You have your spiritual family here who prays with you all over the country and around the world. And I know you're going through a difficult time. I know how it's easy to give into the fear. But look, God is going to be merciful to you. I know that. God is love and mercy himself. So I want to pray for you now, okay? We're going to pray for your needs, for that cancer that you're battling, for your heart, for the stress and anxiety you're going through. And if St. Faustina in her diary, you know, she wrote, you know, the Lord told her, she says, look, my daughter, life on earth is indeed a great struggle. It's a struggle. But fear not, because you are not alone. That's what the Lord told her, and that's what he's telling you right now. He says, I'm always supporting you. He says, lean on me. Lean on me as you struggle, and fear nothing. All right, so let's not fear. Don't give in to that. Know that God loves you infinitely. He is there. I'm going to entrust you right now into the merciful rays of his heart. And I know your spiritual family here is going to continue to pray for you as well, Nick. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Joseph's in listening in Oak Park or Oak Lawn, Illinois. Hi, Joe. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My intention today is for all of the mothers, my sister, my cousins, and all of the mothers that have to put up with their children who are into drugs and who leave the home for years and years, and they have it really hard. So that would be my intention for all of those who are mothers.
Yeah, what a beautiful prayer.
And I feel bad for that guy before, also for him.
Oh, thanks,
yes,
Jason.
That was something.
Yeah,
that
thank
was,
you.
Heartfelt. You're welcome. Thank you.
And I would thank you for your prayer, because I think it's a beautiful one. You know, this weekend we're going to pray for fathers. I want to lift up all fathers for Father's Day. But you're so right. You know, I know so many mothers whose children battle drugs or battle addiction, who have dysfunctional relationships or abusive relationships. I know how much mothers love and the crosses that so many mothers today are carrying. So, Joseph, I want to pray for your personal needs. And, Lord, I just ask you to bless this man. Continue to give him the grace to know you and to draw closer and let him feel and experience your mercy and your generosity. But I also pray for this intention he brought forward for every one of those mothers out there right now. Lord, give them special graces. Give them protection. Give them peace and give them wisdom. I give you mothers. I thank you for the beauty and the gift of motherhood. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And of course, you can always email your prayer intention to me here, drew@relevantradio.com, along with those answered prayers. But a great interactive way of doing it is a Twitter. And our Twitter handle is @DrewMarianiShow, @DrewMarianiShow. Jake monitors it every day. And he joins us during the chapel to share some of the intentions that are coming in. And Jake, thanks for doing that. What can we pray for today?
Well, thank you, Drew. You can just imagine the nervousness he's feeling today, asking that we pray for Paul in our chaplet today. He's going to get results this afternoon of his cancer test to see if it's spread. Paul, we're praying for you today. Rick is asking that we pray for him and his work situation right now. He says he's been treated unfairly at his workplace for the past 2 years, and he's just getting really tired of it. And so, Lord, we pray that you might give Rick a new job opportunity and ultimately do your will. And also Kathy saying, I need prayers so that I can lower my blood pressure naturally and keep it under control. Let's also pray for holy priests today who are going through difficult situations, asking we pray specifically for a priest named Father Parker today as well.
All right, we'll lift up those intentions now. We'll take our next call, too. I mean, you got so many heavy intentions. I throw in a prayer for my wife, too, who is praying the chaplet with us right now, just sent me a very beautiful message. And Kathy, we're praying for you. And Mary, you are on the air with us. Good afternoon. How can we pray for you?
Hi, could you please pray for 12-year-old Sean, who has a soft tissue sarcoma on his knee, and they found two spots on his lungs. They don't know if that has anything to do with it or if it's from having COVID, but I would like to have miraculous healing and a clear scan next time he's scanned.
Right, well, let's pray for that. All right, let's pray big, Mary. Let's do it right now. We'll just ask the Lord for that answered prayer, so you can call back and say, hey, my great nephew received this healing. I want to pray for all those who are waiting for test results, who are concerned about cancer. I want to pray for those in comas. I want to pray for those battling COVID. I want to pray for health. I pray for you. Whatever those intentions are that are in your heart right now, we'll unite with everyone who's written to us and everyone who's now praying with us. Lord, hear these prayers. Be merciful to us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Janet's listening in Marco Island. Beautiful place. Hi, Janet.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. As we're speaking right now, a young woman in her 50s who has just been diagnosed with bone cancer, although she's had the cancer for months, and they've finally figured it out, and also has had kidney problems and back issues, and she's in surgery for her back as we speak. Wow. And just in a whole lot of pain, plus the cancer and the kidney issues. So we just lift her up to the Lord. Only He can take care of her at this point, and for the surgeon.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's sometimes it's all we can do, right? I mean, we do feel powerless, wish we could do more, but let's pray for this young woman with cancer. Lord, I pray for those in chronic pain. I pray for those in surgery. I pray for those who are now facing surgery, and you told us to trust, Lord, so I intercede on behalf of everyone who is now praying with me. You know, in scripture it tells us very clearly, anything is possible for those who believe. Mark 19:23, right? So Lord, I believe that miracles are going to happen now. I believe that pain is going to be mitigated. I believe that those who are crying out to you are being heard by you, and I ask you in a very vivid, very visible, very tangible way to let them see the results of their prayers as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I want to pray for a friend of mine. His name is Tom Buchanan, and I've known him for years, and he just sent me a text as well. And Tom, praying for you, all right, for you and for your wife. And I want to pray for our friends. I want to pray for broken relationships, whether it's in between friends or between family members, between coworkers. I just ask the Lord to heal in that area right now as well. It's one of those intentions that I know can be a heavy cross for a lot of people. So, Lord, I ask you to clear up misconceptions and misunderstandings and to shine the light of truth in those areas. Pat is listening in Wisconsin. Pat, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'd like to pray for my wife and I and our sons, that we grow closer to God, and by doing that, grow closer to each other and stay in the faith, and for all families, and strengthen them.
Yeah, well, I love that prayer. And Pat, you know what? I'm convinced the Lord hears, and he answers that prayer. You know, he told us that anything you ask by virtue of my passion, if it's according to his will be granted, right? And that's why I believe the Lord wants liberation from addiction. He doesn't want your children. That's a prayer that he'll answer. He wants conversion, and he wants healing as well. And I think that prayer you just offered is just so perfect. So, Lord, I do pray for all those who are now united with me, those who are struggling in so many different ways. I pray for those who are traveling, those who are unemployed, those who are underemployed. I want to pray for those who can't make their ends meet. I want to pray for that mother right now who is contemplating taking the life of her child. I want to pray for that person who doesn't think life is worth living and is contemplating suicide. I want to pray for the sick. I want to pray for those who are just blinded and trapped in a life of sin, those battling addictions, those who are addicted to pornography, those in same-sex relationships, those in troubled marriages, those unfaithful to their spouses, those abused. Lord, I pray for those who do not believe in you. I want to pray for those who have rejected you. Lord, I want to pray for those who most need our prayers. So hear these prayers, Lord, as we turn to you and as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I know we're done our decades, but there's an intention online here to pray for those struggling with infertility and those looking for spouses. I think it's an important prayer. So we ask the Lord to hear that prayer as well. I know several people right now who would love to have a child. And it's a great cross for them. We conclude our beautiful prayers. We pray, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
A Colorado judge ruled a baker violated the state's anti-discrimination law by refusing to make a cake for a transgender woman.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All I'm trying to do is use my art, use my craft to create cakes to help people celebrate special occasions in their life. Yeah. I'd never turn anybody away, just events that I turn away.
All right, hey, please keep that hero in your prayers. As CBS Endeavor reported, he's on the cross again, right? So he explained his stance on PBS. And we're going to talk a little bit about, I don't know if you've been following some of these stories. You heard yesterday the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in favor of Catholic social services being able to follow their consciences and not have to adopt or send out foster children to same-sex couple. The ruling was mixed, and there were some observers who say, look, it wasn't really all that strong. It's probably going to collapse pretty soon. In fact, that could be happening. Well, it could really be happening. Do you remember Jack Phillips? I want to talk about him. He is the baker in Colorado who has he was taken to court after he refused to make a cake to celebrate a so-called same-sex wedding, and the case went to the Supreme Court. If you're not familiar, I'll give you more on the specifics of the case. Here's Nine News in Colorado. They'll give you the lowdown.
The cake baker from Lakewood, who has been pursued for years from court to court for his refusal to create cakes he says violates his religious beliefs, he lost a new court case today. Once more, Masterpiece Cake Shop's Jack Phillips was sued after he turned down an order. This time around, it was for a cake for a gender transition celebration. Suit was brought by an attorney, Autumn Scardina, who's transgendered. She said that she tried to get him to make this cake. Both times he refused, citing his religious beliefs. Now, you may remember Phillips made a similar argument in 2012 when he refused to bake a cake, a wedding cake, for a gay couple. The couple then filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The case eventually made its way to the Supreme Court, where the justices partially sided with the cake baker, with Phillips. They said the Colorado Civil Rights Commission showed a hostility toward religion. In this newest case, this newest ruling, a Denver District Court judge decided that Phillips' shop violated Colorado's anti-discrimination law by refusing to bake the gender transition cake. Once again, Phillips plans to appeal.
Yeah, so this is a story that won't go away, right? I feel like I've been talking about this forever. And just to recap, you know, his case went to the Supreme Court. They ruled in his favor, but only, you know, they said because of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, they had the wrong attitude. That's why. And they were out to get Jack, and that showed up in the evidence, right? So if that nasty attitude hadn't been there, then Jack, you know, may not have had a leg to stand on. So he's back in court because there's a lawyer in that town who's harassing him. And the lawyer wanted Jack to bake him a cake to celebrate, as you heard in that piece, this transgender transition. And Jack refused. He says, I don't want to do that. Put yourself in Jack's shoes for just a second. What would you do? Would you say, it's not a big deal, I'm going to do it? Would you say, no, I am not going to do this. I'm not going to make a cake for a same-sex wedding or some transgender celebration. I'm not going to use my artistic skills to celebrate something that I think is wrong. Well, the lawyer sued. Now the district court told Jack that he has to bake the cake. You, Mr. Phillips, have to bake that cake. So Alliance Defending Freedom, which is defending him, they're going to appeal. But the activist lawyer is saying that even if the case gets dismissed, he's not letting it go. Mm-mm-mm-mm. He's going to file another lawsuit against Jack. So this is not going away. Is Jack being harassed? It's been going on for 8 years, just to give you some perspective. 8 years of this man's life, and it caused him a lot of personal loss, a lot of suffering. It caused him to lose his business, and his family has been suffering as well. So on top of that, you know, the Catholic News Agency did some digging. They found a number of foundations across the country right now. They're contributing very large sums of money to causes that are really that are anti-religious liberty. And we'll talk about that. And I've invited Professor Rick Garnett to join me today. He is the director of the Notre Dame Program on Church, State, and Society, concurrent professor of political science. And he teaches and he writes about freedom of speech and association of religion and constitutional law. And you can follow him. He's got a great Twitter feed. Just go to at Rick, G-A-R-N-E-T-T, at Rick Garnett. And, Professor, it's always good to talk with you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me back on.
A lot going on, right? There's so much from adoption to Jack Phillips, and I'd like to talk to you about it all. First, let's talk Mr. Phillips. Why all of this ire targeted against this one man? Why not leave him alone and go get your cake somewhere else? I mean, it's been the court many times. They've been battling this 8 years. Do they want to, you know, put that boot on his throat and say, you're going to do what we want or else? And maybe fill me in as well as how you see this case.
Well, it sounds like I see it a lot like you do. I mean, it's pretty clear what's happening is that this lawyer has Phillips in clear view and wants to make a statement. And, you know, the lawyer could have acquired a cake to celebrate this gender transition occasion at any one of hundreds of bakeries. But the lawyer chose Phillips precisely in order to make Phillips refuse so that Phillips could be sued. So it is a targeted campaign against him. And it's, again, it's kind of a symbolic and, in my opinion, somewhat spiteful campaign. It's not about securing access. I mean, Phillips has never denied service, so far as we know, to somebody simply on the basis of the person's sexual orientation or gender identity. Instead, Phillips has said, look, there's a few kinds of occasions where I would regard it as kind of inappropriate cooperation if I were to use my art, and he does think of what he does as an art, to celebrate. But by all means, there's, you know, here's some other stores that would be happy to help you out. So this isn't about, the case isn't really about discrimination, right, or denial of services or people, right, being left out of the marketplace. It's about making a point, yeah, that Phillips's views are objectionable.
No, I just, you know, if you switch out the trades, right, instead of baking a cake or being a photographer, say you were an artist, right, and somebody came to you and said, yeah, I want you to paint this, and the person doesn't want to do it, I think they have the right not to use their artistic ability and take a project that they don't want to get engaged in. Yet we live in a culture where everybody wants tolerance. I want you to accept and tolerate my lifestyle and give me what I want. But there's zero tolerance for someone who opposes that worldview. I mean, how do we get to this point? I mean, how can people be so blind, I guess? You know, from one side of the aisle, you see it one way. From the other, they see it totally the opposite.
Well, look, there's been a long tradition, certainly in the civil rights context, of worrying that some people, you know, whether it was on account of their race or their ethnicity or what have you, couldn't get access to goods and services that we all take for granted. So that's why we had the Civil Rights Act, to make sure that, you know, people could eat at restaurants regardless of the color of their skin. That's a good thing. But in this Phillips context, again, he's perfectly willing to serve people regardless, right, of their sexual orientation. And he would have sold Autumn Sardina a cake, a pre-made cake, but he didn't, right, want to use his artistic gifts to engage in what he regards, and we might disagree with him, but what he regards as kind of involvement in the celebration. And again, as you said, it does seem like this is stretching the important idea of non-discrimination and public accommodations access into more like trying to make an ideological and symbolic point that we want to punish this guy for his views.
That's really what's happening. This is all about retaliation on him because he won't capitulate or do what they want. Let's take a few calls for you. The number here is 888-914-9149. Feel free to sound off. Feel free to share your view. Victoria is listening in Fall River, Massachusetts. Victoria, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
I just totally agree. Poor Jack. I'll say some more prayers for him. But it's like, it's the other, the GBT, whatever they call themselves, the community, is so uncaring. They're so demanding, and you do my way or whatever, and every, instead of being turning what you want into the other side, because there are people that don't object with what you do. And then I just heard that he was willing to sell him a cake that was pre-made. Well, it's like you say, to me it's harassing, and it's not a nice way. Not that I want them to be accepted, but the GBT, if they want to be accepted in the community, you think they would work more willingly with everybody and be kind of it, even though I don't approve of their lifestyle, be respectful of what I am thinking and my wishes, just like I'm trying to understand yours and tolerate yours.
Victoria, thank you. Thanks for the call. Let's talk about that for a moment. And Professor, I mean, this is not reflective of the whole LGBT community, is it? I mean, is this just a radical, you know, part of it, an individual who decides to use his law degree to persecute this person? How do you see this going down? Because, I mean,
I
hate to broad brush everybody all the time. You know, I don't want to do
that. And you're right not to broad brush everybody. I mean, here's just an example. So yesterday when the Supreme Court had the 9-0 ruling in favor of Catholic Social Services, right, in this foster care case mentioned, one of the people who took to social media to celebrate it is Andrew Sullivan, whom you probably know about. He's a famous journalist who in many ways kind of invented the contemporary movement for same-sex marriage in law. You know, he's an interesting thinker. He's an English conservative. He supported same-sex marriage. And he celebrated the fact that that the court had protected the right of Catholic Social Services to do foster care in a way that was consistent with its own beliefs. And he condemned the efforts of some activists to sort of insist on these kind of total culture wars. It's ironic sometimes that, religious traditionalists and Catholics right. are sometimes accused of being culture warriors, but the real culture war in this context anyway is this lawyer who sort of is hounding after Phillips. If you don't mind, Drew, a quick point. You mentioned a couple seconds ago something yeah. about the funding for some of these efforts
yeah.
To bring these cases. You know, one thing that's important to appreciate is that a lot of the funding for this sort of, for lack of a better word, anti-Jack Phillips type cases is coming from abortion rights groups.
Yeah.
And one way to understand that is that abortion rights groups understand that they have an interest in trying to wear down the principle of religious accommodations. You know, they want hospitals to have to perform abortions. They want nurses to have to participate in abortions. And in a sense, they are funding these anti-Jack Phillips type cases in order to create law that they hope will make it harder for conscientious healthcare providers to refuse to participate in abortion.
Yeah, that's such a great point. How much money are we talking about? Do you know?
I don't know the exact figure. It's certainly millions and millions. I mean, a very, very well-funded groups coming from, very wealthy foundations and individuals. And, there are a whole lot of, it's funny, you always hear senators complaining about dark money. And usually they're complaining about the alleged influence of conservative groups right. like the Koch brothers or what have you. But in fact, the anti-religious accommodations side is dramatically more well-funded than the pro-religious exemption side.
Yeah, how true. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll grab another call. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Mary is listening in Rhode Island. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. I have just one question. Why doesn't Jack just move to a red state?
Very simple question. Professor, I guess he doesn't want to leave his home, his business, his family, perhaps. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know Jack personally. What do you know?
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that in red states as well as blue states, or I should say in many red states, there are laws that are similar to the ones that are being used against Jack Phillips here. So even, a red state might have a big city that has an anti-discrimination ordinance that looks a lot like this. So my point is there's no guarantee that one could get away from a legal obligation or an asserted legal obligation that one has to provide these services. But then, more generally, I suppose, Phillips might say, and again, I'm not speaking for him, he might say, look, if I have a constitutional right to free speech and to the free exercise of religion, I shouldn't have to leave my home in order to have that right vindicated. A different example, but we wouldn't tell somebody they have to move to escape racial segregation.
How far does this go? I mean, if you can make somebody, paint a picture of you, take a photograph of you, bake a cake for you, and they make the case that they conscientiously object, it goes against their moral code. Now, we take racism out of it, and it's a different thing. We're talking about, these same-sex weddings and things along those lines. How does this get resolved? Are we going to see court case after court case after court case? I know the Supreme Court ruling in his favor was very narrow, and I know it was written very narrowly. So I just wonder, how does this get concluded, if at all?
I don't know. If I were confident, I'd write a book about it and become famous in my little law prof world. But I do think this is a tension that's not going to go away because, I think for people like the lawyer who are coming after Jack Phillips right now, this is a point of principle. And in their view, people like Jack Phillips are denying their dignity. And on the flip side, I just don't think, despite what some people suggest, that religious believers are going to abandon their commitments on matters of marriage or sexuality. Or again, we could think of the abortion context. I mean, we are going to be in a situation very soon, I suspect, where there will be efforts to require pro-life healthcare providers to participate in abortions. Yeah. And and they will, of course, are we gonna say that if you're pro-life, you can no longer be a healthcare professional?
Right.
That doesn't seem like it would benefit anybody.
It's a slippery slope. I have to take a short pause, Professor. When we come back, we'll take a few more calls. If you want to get in, I only have Professor Rick Garnett for a few moments. Feel free to sound up. We're talking about Jack Phillips being drugged in a court again. If you're just joining me, I'll fill you in on all the details on the other side. Also, a major case, a 9-0, you know, ruling coming out of the Supreme Court yesterday. You might have missed that story. I'll fill you in. It is connected to what we're talking about here. We do have a conservative court. Stay with me. I'll get you up to speed on it all right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
We'll connect you to some clarity. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
More
on demand on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, thanks for joining me. Hey, if you are just getting plugged in, yesterday was a huge day. I want to tell you a little bit about a case, the Fulton versus Philadelphia, and we'll talk adoption. If you're just joining me right now, though, we're talking about Jack Phillips, a story that we've been covering for years. He is a cake maker who did not want to be conscientiously objected to making a cake, to use his artistic abilities to celebrate a transgender transition. And the lawyer who wanted to make him bake this cake is now suing him again. He's back in court. And Professor, let's grab a couple quick calls here. And I do want to get to the other issue because it's kind of a big story as well. But let me get Susan, who's been hanging out in Lexington, Kentucky, and wanting to get in on the conversation. Susan, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Professor.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a couple quick comments because I know you have a lot of callers. First of all, this man obviously has a bullseye on his back. There's no question. And the sad part is they're going after him just because he says no. It doesn't matter. But like I've explained to many young people that I work with that wanted to know why I think that this man has the right to say no, I tell them, what if the KKK comes into the bakery after they take the man's right away and say, we want you to bake a cake with a man hanging from a tree? And their mouths opened. And I said, if you start taking rights away from people to say no to things they feel are immoral to them, then you open the door for all this. I said, same thing with the neo-Nazi group. They come in, they want to celebrate the death of 6 million Jews. Should this man have the right to say, no, I don't want to bake this cake? You open the door to even more. And I think it's terrible. I grew up in Detroit, 54 years. We have a very high Muslim population.
Yep.
Every Catholic knows a Muslim bakery is not going to bake you a First Communion cake.
Wow.
Or a lesbian or a homosexual wedding cake. They will not do it. They'll run you out. So I really want this man to win this case, and I don't think he should have to move. He should stand his ground, and I think every Christian should be behind him.
Susan, thank you. Thanks, Professor. Let's pick up on those points. The KKK comes in, or some neo-Nazi group comes in. I'm sure nobody would have a problem with Jack saying, "I'm not going to make you a cake like that," right? But where do we draw the line on all this? How do we parse this out? And what's acceptable and what's not?
Yeah. So this, you know, forgive me if I get a little bit in the legal weeds here, but
yeah,
the thing is that most of these anti-discrimination laws that are at issue in these wedding vendor cases, they have a list of sort of protected categories of people. So, there's a list of reasons that you're not allowed to discriminate. So you can't discriminate on the basis of race or sex and so on. And one of the categories that is often listed, and this is true in Phillips's case, is, you know, sexual orientation. So these decision makers, it's their view that Phillips is discriminating on the basis of sexual orientation because he won't provide the cake to celebrate a same-sex wedding. Now, Phillips says, I don't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation.
Right.
But to the caller's point, most of these anti-discrimination laws don't have, as one of the prohibited grounds of discrimination, political disagreement. So generally speaking, this isn't universally true, but generally speaking, you're allowed to say, you know what, I'm not going to bake a cake for a Republican because political discrimination is not treated the same as discrimination on the basis wow. of race and so on. Second point, I think the caller made a reference to a cake that had a picture of a noose or something like that.
Yeah,
I think a lot of courts would treat that differently because there have been cases where courts have said, look, if you require a cake baker, or one of them was a t-shirt case, a t-shirt maker, to actually communicate a particular message,
right.
that violates their free speech rights.
Hmm.
The problem in the Phillips context is that the other side, and also some of these courts, they don't agree with Phillips that he's actually being forced to communicate anything. Again, that's kind of in the weeds, but that's a line that gets drawn in some of these cases, is whether the thing you're being asked to do is obviously communicative. Now, Phillips thinks that being forced to use his art to celebrate an occasion that he objects to is communicative, but that was one of the disagreements that was front and center in litigation involving him.
Yeah, I think those were important distinctions, Doctor, and I'm glad you brought them up. We have a few minutes here. I'll go back to the phones in a second on this one, but I want to get to another issue that is somewhat connected to this, and that's Fulton versus Philadelphia. 9-0, a unanimous decision from the Supreme Court yesterday. For those who have not heard that breaking news yesterday, bring them up on this decision and what it means and why this is so significant.
So Catholic Social Services was told by the city of Philadelphia that they could no longer participate in a foster care certification program. And the reason was because Catholic Social Services wouldn't certify same-sex couples. Now, there was no record that they'd ever turned away any couple, because there was no record of any same-sex couple coming to Catholic Social Services to get certified, because right. there are dozens of other agencies that certify. And you know, long story short, the Supreme Court agreed with Catholic Social Services that Philadelphia had violated the First Amendment's free exercise of religion clause by singling out, by targeting Catholic Social Services for this exclusion. Philadelphia said, well, look, we have a non-discrimination rule. We don't allow foster care agencies to discriminate, and that's what you're doing. And, you know, some people said the court's ruling was narrow. It's true that it didn't go as far as it could have done. But it's worth emphasizing, I think, that all nine justices, including the most liberal justices on the court, agreed that if the government singles out religious providers or religious believers for sort of discriminatory or disadvantageous treatment, that almost certainly violates the Constitution. That's a big thing to have all nine justices saying that. This yeah. wasn't the 5-4 left versus right kind of thing. Now, again, some of the justices thought the court should have gone farther, and a lot of smart lawyers think that as well. But for my own part, I regard it as incredibly significant and actually very reassuring that, you know, once again, the Supreme Court under John Roberts, and they have a really good record on this under his leadership, you know, vindicated the importance of the free exercise of religion.
My guest today, Professor Rick Garnett. You can join us if you want, 888-914-9149. I only have a few moments here, and we'll go back to the phones in a second. It's just one follow-up on this. So we're dealing with the adoption case. We're dealing with Jack Phillips. And we also, you mentioned a moment ago, and I just want to circle back to this, because I think it's another really important aspect of what we're seeing in the culture at large. Large sums of money right now being funneled into these anti-religious liberty issues. And I've said this for a long time. I believe this is the next battleground. This is the next frontier. It was life. It was marriage. I think religious liberties are in the crosshairs now. Religious freedom is the first liberty written into our Bill of Rights. I mean, why are these foundations so dead set against that fundamental right?
Well, I think they would say that they're not against religious freedom, provided that religious freedom isn't getting in the way of other things they care about. So, in my view anyway, the real driver in these cases is not so much a hostility to religious freedom as it is a commitment to abortion rights or to LGBT rights and so on. That is, religion is seen by some of these wealthy funders as kind of getting in the way of making what they regard as progress in the abortion rights context. You know, when religious freedom cases don't involve abortion or marriage or gender, they tend to bring left and right together. So, you know, the Supreme Court a couple years ago had a 9-0 case about a Muslim prisoner who wanted to grow a beard, and all justices agreed that, yeah, the prisoner should be able to grow a beard. And the vast majority of religious freedom cases don't involve these kind of hot-button moral questions. They tend to involve things like, hey, you know, should the Amish people be allowed to drive their wagons on county roads and things like that? And so in most of those cases, there is no stark left-right culture war dimension to it. The problem is we're seeing more and more kind of public attention being focused on these cases where there is a clash between, say, abortion rights on the one side, asserted abortion rights on the one side, and religious beliefs and pro-life beliefs on the other.
Well, I got to hold it right there, and I am always grateful to have you here. I always enjoy our conversations. My thanks to Professor Rick Garvin. I'll be right back. What we do here is very different. We can report on the news, but we can also offer that moral perspective.
I'd like to see all Catholics on their knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament praying the rosary, because Jesus is the one who's the answer.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.